Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 27th of October, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm all right. Better than you. Sounds like you had kind of a rough day today.
Let's not talk about the encounter I had with a bird.
Yeah, we won't, but it's I'm okay. Just going to say, like, there's a reason that I do not spend time in the big blue room, and that's one of those reasons. That's actually not what we're here to talk about today, though. Today, we are here to talk about...
Between me and my therapist.
it's going to take way longer than we have to work through that. Big blue room, 1 star. Do not recommend. And part of it is those non-playable characters that just mess with you every time. Let's talk for a minute about... Well, let's talk for several minutes about the App Store... situation in China.
Yes,
because there's been some change. I'm sure this comes as a surprise to approximately no one, that the apps that are available to you if you live in China and use the version of the App Store within China that on your iPhone, that you don't get the same variety, I'll say, of applications available to you that we do here.
That is increasingly true. I mean, it's not that weird. You know, there are different apps and services available in different countries around the world. But there are obvious, you know, there's quite a lot of people in China and obviously concerns about human rights and things from the government there. And so it's seen in a different context. So, and I'm sorry for doing this to you, Kelly, but let's go back to 2020.
There are some who say we never actually left it, so that's fine.
But it's okay. We're going to be only the December the 31st, New Year's Eve, 2020.
All right.
And on that day, 39,000 games were removed from the App Store in China by Apple.
Whoa. Okay.
So that is because, that made a total of 46,000 apps removed before a deadline for developers to get a license.
Okay.
Which was,
and that license was what exactly, like from the Chinese government?
It's a government issued license that they had to obtain, and that was, yeah. So it's a government issued license, right? So this is some context to the story, but not all context. The reason I bring this up is just to make sure we're all clear that it's not a brand new thing that is happening.
Yeah.
So
it is not.
Cut forward. We've done that. That's happened. And kind of the situation seemed a bit settled. And then we got to October 15th, a couple of weeks ago. And a brilliant resource that I and some other journalists have used called Apple Censorship. It monitors changes to app stores around the world. But you can imagine much of the focus is on mainland China. Flagged up a few things. One thing that the BBC noted was that a Quran app that was used by millions of Muslims around the world called Quran Majid had been removed from the China App Store. We're not a geopolitics show, but I think the implications of why that matters are clear. Mm-hmm. Whilst looking and, you know, double checking that and writing that, I noticed that Audible had been deleted from that store. The deletion was dated the 14th of October. Mm-hmm. So that's China removing a service Audible is obviously owned by Amazon, and that service was not available in China. And Audible confirmed to me that they had removed it because they said Audible does not have a dedicated service for customers in China due to permit requirements. We have removed our app from the Apple Store in mainland China. So the decision was made by Audible because of some the bureaucratic situation in China.
Okay.
Obviously pretty significant to be removing something owned by Amazon.
Yes. And the interesting thing about the Audible app, or at least part of why it sort of did make sense to me anyway that it got removed, is that the Audible app is, the app itself is just a conduit. It enables you to play books from all manner of sources, audiobooks.
Yeah.
And so it's like Audible, like the Audible app itself doesn't dictate the content you see. It's not like there's some algorithm that's meant to keep you in there longer or anything like that. It's for listening to books. And so that was part of why I went, well, why would they? I mean, it's just, oh, yeah, it's kind of all the books that you could want. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that all of a sudden evaporated from the app store in China.
And we should be clear. Audible made the decision to pull the plug. They told me that it wasn't Apple making the decision or the Chinese government telling Apple to make a decision. But obviously the bureaucratic situation set up by the Chinese government meant that Audible felt compelled to make that decision. I think that's a fair way to articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I was sort of keeping my eye on this at this point, it was noticed actually by the Telegraph in the UK here that following those incidents, we then saw that Yahoo Finance has gone. And I actually noticed that I had a quick look before the show and some other Yahoo, like email and a couple of have gone from the China mainland app store. But the significance of Yahoo Finance is that it's one of the only key ways that people in China, users in China, can access foreign news, because it republishes content from the likes of Bloomberg and Reuters and so on. So again, you know, it is a level of information that is now removed.
Mm-hmm.
And continuing the theme, I also noticed that a Bible study app had been removed, and Pixar, which I believe is a very popular kind of image editing app, I think. So it's all very, you know, it's quite, you know, I personally find it worrying. I think it's a very important thing that we all keep our eyes on.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the question, I don't have an answer for you, unfortunately, is what is Apple's role in this? Is it providing any pushback? Is it, you know, Apple always emphasizes that it follows local laws. That is its, you know, that's always its stance on things wherever in the world we're dealing with these kind of issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it equally says it cares very much about human rights and those things. So it's always placed in this kind of conflict. Yeah, so it's a quite, I don't know if ominous is the word, concerning is definitely the word, situation that is ongoing.
Yeah, it's absolutely something that we need to continue to watch. As you've mentioned, like, this is an evolving situation, clearly. And it's been going on for a while, as things get dropped out of the app store for not getting that license, and all sorts of things that could entail. There's an interesting, I'm not sure quite how to put it. There's an interesting stance here that I feel like Apple is taking, and we will talk about that momentarily. But first, I want to take a minute and talk about our sponsor this week, who is SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is a company that makes security systems for people that are easy to set up and easy to use. And that setup now includes an outdoor security camera. So like everything else that they make, this is something that was designed by somebody who actually wants to use their security camera. So it's got a bunch of great features for people who actually rely on them. And that includes 1080p resolution. It's got 8x zoom. There's night vision as an option, and an easily removable rechargeable battery, which is super great. So you really can put it anywhere and continue to charge it. And this new camera integrates with any SimpliSafe setup, whether it's a new setup or you're adding it to your existing one. SimpliSafe is celebrating this new product with 20% off a new system and the first month of interactive monitoring for free. Just go to simplisafe.com/TDO and you can customize the system to protect your home and family. That's simplisafe.com/TDO, SimpliSafe.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank SimpliSafe for sponsoring the show today. Now, here's the thing about the App Store in China that I think is sort of interesting is we see all of this, and it's not like the Chinese government can sort of tell Apple this app needs to come out of the App Store and then Apple has to remove it. It's up to Apple to make sure that what's in there is what's supposed to be in there, depending on who determines what value of supposed to be is,
right? And as I said, Apple always insists that it follows, it cares deeply about human rights, and equally it always follows local laws.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a principle, you know, following local laws in local markets is a fundamental principle of the company.
Yes. But according to them, so is privacy. And privacy, you know, privacy is a human right, is the thing that they keep drumming into us at every opportunity.
There is absolutely your right to pick up on the conflict there, because quite clearly that is becoming an increasing conflict in some parts of the world.
Yeah, this is the thing that I sort of have a hard time with, is spending part of their time standing up for people and, you know, standing up to the FBI when the FBI says you need to build an automatic backdoor into iOS so that we can snoop everybody's messages. And Apple's like, yeah, no. You know, and we've talked about it here. We've covered it on MacObserver.com. The times when Apple has said, this is what the government wants to do, and we're not going to do it, because we are valuing the privacy of our users over the government saying they need all their access to everything all the time. And then, you know, so I'm trying to reconcile that stance, which we have talked about and which Apple has been applauded for, with the stance of, well, what are we supposed to do? It's the local law that China's government gets to boss us around, you know. And I think as the gap between those two things continues to widen, it's going to be something that's going to become harder and harder for them to defend.
Yeah, it's complicated and messy.
Yes.
And look, the cynic could say, look where Apple manufactures stuff, look which market Apple wants to grow in, look who Apple, do you know what I mean?
Like, mm-hmm.
There's a very easy cynical route we can go down here, and maybe some of that is true. So I also spoke to Benjamin Ismail, who is the project director at Apple Censorship, who, as I said, monitored this stuff and is the resource that we're getting this information from.
Mm-hmm.
And he commented on Apple's position in this, and he said, again, this is his words, not mine, Apple should be held accountable for its blatant and serious violations of human rights and participation to the Chinese and other governments' curbing of fundamental freedoms. Or it could simply start taking the right decisions, refuse censorship, stop compromising itself, and face whatever reaction those repressive governments will have.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. His words, not mine, but
yep.
They're pretty punchy. And I think there are quite a lot of people, maybe many of them listening to this show, who would have quite a lot of sympathy with that sentiment.
Mm-hmm. It certainly sounds like something.
You know, we have to say it's very easy for us sitting here to say that.
Right.
We're dealing with powers beyond, you know, far beyond our pay grades, Kelly.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I can't even if I like stand on a chair, I still can't see that pay grade from here.
Right. And we're trying to be fair and present this in a balanced way. Obviously, I don't think I'm putting words into mouth. I say both you and I would love Apple to put its foot down and say, no, mm-hmm. these are legal, reasonable products. They are staying in our service.
Yeah.
We're a $2 trillion company. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Obviously, things are not that simple. But yes, we would like that. And of course, I should reiterate, it was in the case of Audible, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Audible made the decision.
Right. It was Amazon decided this is too hard. We're not going to do it.
We don't know why they made the decision, but they there was this permit, and they just instead decided to pull the app.
Yeah, that was that's how it ended up. Like whatever factors went into that decision, they decided it would be easier to not be in China. And that's a thing. Interestingly, I don't remember exactly.
There's never been a dedicated Audible service.
Yeah.
In China, but there's Chinese language and the app mm-hmm. was available in the App Store.
Yeah, and I remember, and the thing is, I don't remember the exact parameters of it now, but Google was not doing business in China, at least for some amount of time, for the same sorts of things, because they went, this is too hard, we don't want to do it, and I think, there's a whole lot to that, you know. Google themselves are not primarily a hardware company. That's not their business model. They do make phones, but that's not what they're in it for. Basically, it's sort of their phone hardware is almost a side hustle in the grand scheme of Google. So I think it's interesting to note that like Google noped out of China, and yet Apple is not going to. And I feel like if Apple did, it would sort of help. And I mean, part of it is like Apple staying is a political act and Apple leaving is a political act. And there's no way, you know, because if they leave, like, you know, if Apple does put their foot down and go, no, this is what we're doing, you know, like they do with the U.S. government, as they did somewhere in Europe that I think you're probably going to remember better than I do, where they were sort of casually requesting iOS backdoors or something, and Apple went, yeah, I mean, it's not happening.
There's been, yeah, I mean, the, yeah, it, there's been various rows with various security services.
Yeah, and so I think it's interesting that like on the one hand Apple's doing that, but on the other hand there's this other government where Apple is just sort of quietly complying, and the dissonance between those things as well is also something that is notable, at least to me. So it will be interesting to see how this evolves. I would like to point out that, Charlotte, you were the person who first spotted and reported on the Audible evaporation from the App Store in China. So
is that what we're calling it, an evaporation?
Sure. Disappeared, I guess, is probably the more accurate term. You know, something that was around and is no longer for political reasons seems like disappeared is kind of the word for it.
And I know you and I, because of the jobs we do, noticed the tech, you know, the big tech angle of this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look through some of the data, there's various apps for various religions that are pulled.
Yeah.
Which obviously brings other concerns.
Yeah, because the first one to leave, I think, was a Quran app.
Yeah, I know.
Or the first noticeable one.
Spotted a Quran app.
Yeah.
If you look, there's various Bible apps that have been removed.
Yeah. And that's removed, not part of that.
Decisions.
Not part of caught up in that, if you don't get a license from the government by this time, we're taking you off the App Store purge, but like a very different sort of situation where these are things that happened outside of that. So that's part of what makes that.
There are obvious reasons why people would be concerned about that.
Yeah. So as this continues, of course, we will continue to cover it over at MacObserver.com. Thank you, Charlotte, for your reporting on this, because it's been interesting to watch it evolve. And as we have more to report, we will share it with you here. So, Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.